I started out with a picture of this old lamp. And I asked if anybody knows what that circle behind the lamp is. So, anyone know what the circle behind the lamp is? A reflector, yes. So, what does it do? Simple, right? It reflects light. Some of you over the age of 30 are very familiar with this kind of thing, or have maybe seen it in your grandparents' house, or have used it, and some of you under the age of 30 just turn that little button on your phone and you have light, right? So you're totally unfamiliar with this unless you go somewhere like a museum or an antique shop or something, or my mom's house, right? Yeah. Well, Mom has a big Aladdin lamp over her table, and it has a big shade, and I shared with you that the outside of that shade is dark, black or green. I'm not sure what color it is. As I joke with her, it's really dark in her house. But the inside of the shade that faces downward and faces the light is white, for very much the same reason. That one's shiny. It sits behind it. The lamp that hangs over the table has a white shade on the inside. It's there to reflect the light down to you so that you can see more light. If you don't have a reflector on an oil lamp like that, it's much darker. You can see some things, but it's kind of like having to do all of your seeing with the light of a candle. We didn't spend much time reflecting on the past year or reflecting on what we might resolve to do in the year to come. Instead, we focused on the idea that we are, each one of us, reflecting something, or in this case, someone. We are reflecting Christ. We are called to be the light of this world, but we need to remember where that light that we're called to be comes from. I showed another picture. Maybe this one is more relatable to some of you. What's that? A pie, yeah. And that was the answer most given by Mike Sibley last week. Pie. It's a reflector oven that makes the pie. There's a nice pie inside. Basically, it's just a few panels of polished metal. It is by nature thin, so it will pack easily and remain lightweight for camping. It absolutely has no insulating properties whatsoever. It's very similar to a solar oven. Because of its shiny surface, it will reflect anything that you put near it. Sticks, a hard, cold rock, a water bottle, your face if you look into it. But when you set it near a good fire, it will bake muffins, it will bubble the insides of blueberry pie and bake the crust golden brown. It'll produce pizza to die for, chocolate chip cookies, popcorn, chicken pot pies. It focuses the light and the heat and it reflects it back. It has no heat. It has no light. It has nothing to reflect of its own. So it relies on the source of the heat to do its job. Sound familiar? Sounds just like us, right? Just like believers reflecting Christ in their lives. Today's message is focused on a devotional that I found in My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers on December 30th. He begins, and his focus verse is the title of my sermon today, which is All My Springs Are in You. And he begins by saying, our Lord never patches up our natural virtues. That is, our natural traits, our qualities, or characteristics. He completely remakes a person on the inside. Okay? He doesn't patch up what we were born with. He remakes us on the inside. We are spoken of in Scripture as a new creation, right? We are spoken of in Scripture as being given a new heart of flesh, which replaced our heart of stone, correct? Ephesians 4:24 is the scripture that he uses to illustrate his point. And it says in verses 14 through 24, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way that you learned from Christ, assuming you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirits of your mind, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Put off your old self requires an action, to take it off, put it somewhere, put it aside. It belongs to your former manner of life, and it's corrupt. And then a call to put on your new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Over 4 years ago, when I was asked to fill in before Pastor Angus arrived, I felt then in what amounted to be about a 3-month span that ended at a very similar time of year, to preach and teach through the book of Ephesians. Specifically, these passages here about unity. And I find it very interesting that through no effort of my own in preparing for this week, I was drawn to this devotional by Oswald Chambers. In my utmost for his highest. In fact, I was pointed to it. I didn't choose it. This devotional about all of our springs being in him. This devotional that focuses on the very same passages in Ephesians. So on my last Sunday, filling in for very different reasons and under very different circumstances, it seems that God wants us to squeeze a little bit more out of Ephesians 4. Oswald Chambers, whom I respect and on occasion have read every day through the year, his devotional set up that way. Over the last 10 years, I've probably read things from him, second under things I've read in the Bible, and I respect his words. He says, in other words, see that your natural human life is putting on all that is in keeping with your new life. It's as if we had to go to a school where we were required to wear a new uniform, and yet we chose to wear our old clothes instead. And every day when we arrived at school, we were reminded that we should have our new uniform on, because we were something other than what we used to be. The life God places within us develops its own new virtues. Not the virtues of the seed of Adam, but Oswald writes, the virtues of Jesus Christ. Once God has begun the process of sanctification in your life, watch and see how God causes confidence in your own natural virtues and power to wither away. He will continue until you learn to draw your life from the reservoir of the resurrected life of Jesus. Thank God if you are going through this drying up experience. Remember, I think the first sermon that you preached when you were here talked about how we are to find joy in all things. And in some cases, we're to proclaim joy from the trials that we have. Thank God if you are going through this drying up experience. Oswald Chambers continues as he says, "The sign that God is at work in us is that he is destroying our confidence in our natural virtues, because they are not promises of what we are going to be, but only a wasted reminder of what God created man to be. We want to cling to our natural virtues, while all the time God is trying to get us to contact with the life of Jesus Christ. A life that can never be described in terms of the natural. It's the saddest thing to see people who are trying to serve God depending on that which the grace of God never gave them." It's kind of a tough thing to wrap your mind around this morning, unless you feel like, I'm just not succeeding like I think God would have me to succeed. I'm not reaching the people I think he wants me to reach. I'm not happy in my own life in serving him. And you come to realize, well, perhaps that's because I'm doing it all on my own strength and I'm not depending on him. I don't really know what that looks like this morning to depend on him, but I sure know what it looks like to depend on myself, and I'm simply not strong enough. I don't have the talent. I wear out easy. If you're thinking those things, then you're right on track with what Oswald Chambers is saying. It's the saddest thing to see people who are trying to serve God depending on that which the grace of God never gave to them. They are depending solely on what they have by virtue of heredity. God does not take our natural virtues and transform them, because our natural virtues could never come close to what Jesus Christ wants. No natural love, no natural patience, no natural purity can ever come up to his demands. But as we bring every part of our natural bodily life into harmony with the new life that God has placed within us, he will begin to exhibit in us the virtues that were the characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we need to realize that every virtue we possess is his alone. Amen? I'm going to throw up one of those pictures. Awesome. I'm going to share a little history lesson this morning that I gleaned from some old newspaper articles. Some of you are familiar with it. I'm going to use it to make my point. It was May 1925 when an abandoned logging sluiceway between Bass and Low Lakes dropped by 55 feet. The Hibbing newspaper said it was as if the lake disappeared by magic. When fishermen appeared the next day and found the lake only a fraction of its original size. Bass Lake and Low Lake occupy a long, narrow basin that glaciers gouged out. Prior to 1925, the two lakes were separated by a ridge of glacial gravel, and it acted as a natural dam between the two lakes. A wooden sluiceway was constructed so that they could move logs from the gravel ridge from Bass Lake to Bow Lake that was a drop of nearly 60 feet for the logging operations that occupied that area until 1920. Jen is on a path that feet have made, and maybe some snowshoes. There was one mark of ski poles there, going through the woods over to Little Dry Lake. Yeah. When the logging operation stopped, the area was abandoned. And without maintenance, seepage eventually weakened the sluiceway as water moved through the gravel adjacent to the structure. And then during the spring of 1925, the sluiceway and gravel ridge washed out, leaving a gorge 250 feet wide. Go to the next picture. You can walk through there. It's beautiful on your way over to Dry Lake and Little Dry Lake. Everything's covered in snow this time of year. The catastrophe that lowered the level of Bass Lake 55 feet in 10 hours. Bass Lake was reduced to about half its original size, and two small lakes, Dry Lake and Little Dry Lake, became isolated in the old lake bed. Approximately 250 acres of land was then exposed and available to the establishment of pioneer plant species. This unusual phenomenon created glacial and ecological events that must have been common during the time of the glacial retreat. It really is a remarkable place in the summertime and the wintertime. But why talk about it this morning? You want to go to the next slide, Tori? Underneath Winter and Ely, you can still see moving water there. Well, why talk about it this morning? Do you ever feel drained? Do you feel like you've been emptied or maybe even dried up? Like your energy level or what you think are your talents have been lowered 55 feet in 10 hours overnight? You feel exhausted and wiped out and empty. In the winter, in the woods, on the way to Little Dry Lake, it's very quiet. No squirrels in the leaves were rustling around yesterday. There weren't any birds singing. There was just soft, deep snow underfoot. And under the ice on Little Dry and Bass Lakes is water. You can't see it unless you auger a hole or if you venture into the swamps or look down as you cross over the streams that flow under the boardwalks under the snow. For me, it's a picture of two very distinctive things. One, that our sins, which were once a very deep crimson red, are now covered through no effort of our own with white as pure as freshly fallen snow. It's clean. And number two, as the psalm says, all my springs are in you. And as Oswald Chambers so eloquently, I believe, put it, God does not take our natural virtues and transform them because our natural virtues could never even come close to what Jesus Christ wants. No natural love, no natural patience, no natural purity can ever come up to his demands. But as we bring every part of our natural bodily life into harmony with the new life that God has placed within us, he will exhibit in us the virtues that were the characteristics and are the characteristics of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then every virtue that we possess is his alone. Amen? Thank you.